أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Last week we discussed verses number 1 and 2 of Surah Al-Mulk and there's just something that we have to complete and finish about verse number 2 Now, verse number 2 said, هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَمَلًا The one who created death and life to test you, to examine you, who is best in conduct. Now, we said that, of course, the whole purpose of life in this on this earth, this stage of our existence, is to go beyond it. So death is a very important component of life. And if it was not for death, the life on this earth would have been meaningless. And therefore death is mentioned before life. And why this stage of creation, why we were not created initially in paradise, because we had to show something before going there. We had to manifest from ourselves, something from us on our own initiation should have happened before we could go to paradise. It is not possible without this initial move from us. And therefore, I have created this life and death so that examine you. Who is best in conduct? Now, we said that it's not examine to see who is good and who is bad. The bad are trash. They are not purpose of this creation. Who is better so that I can place you in your ranks in paradise? The, of course, the better, the closer, more power, more glory, more functions in paradise. You know, we have functions in paradise, just like we have functions here, we have functions there. And the more we show this benevolence and goodness from ourselves, higher functions will be given to us. So this is what, by لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ أَعْمَلًا, we understand. Now, one question, would God need to test things to know? This is a question. Doesn't he know already that who is better in conduct so that he doesn't need to test us or to examine us? لَيَبْلُوَكُمْ Bala or ابْتِلَاء is just testing. Now, when we talk about God, this is very important. This is a general rule. When you go throughout all the qualities and names of Allah. When we attribute human qualities to God, like testing. Testing is a human sort of understanding. We test things to know, because we don't know. So we test them to know. We examine them to understand. We experience to understand, to know about the result, for example. But God is not like that. Now, God, for example, has mercy. We have mercy as well. Actually, mercy is our quality. We attribute it to God. Because we cannot talk about God in any other way. We should somehow we refer to him with the qualities that we have. So what should we do here? We either have to not talk about God at all, or the way God has done himself, he has actually used the concepts that we understand to introduce himself. Now, Fakhruddin Razi, who's the great exegete of the 7th century, has a very good explanation here. He says that when we attribute human qualities to God, human qualities have a beginning and an end. Okay, of course, God uses them for us to describe himself. Now, has a beginning or an end? Like ibtila, test. Okay, we want to know something. That's why we test it. Now, the beginning is that we have to prepare for the test. We have to create a procedure for it. Things should go through a process to test them. At the end, we understand something. Mercy. Mercy is what? We feel a sort of attitude in ourselves. There's a feeling, a pity we feel towards someone who needs mercy. And then we think that, okay, I have to sacrifice something of myself for him. So there's a process. At the end, I will do something to show my mercy. Or the wrath, the same thing. My blood boils and I cannot control myself and until I destroy or punish the person. Now, the beginning is a process, the end is an act. Now, whatever attribute of this kind we attribute to God, it is only the end actions which are meant. When we talk about the wrath of God, it's only the action. There is no process in the beginning. Only, for example, Allah wills. Will has a process in us. We have to contemplate, think, imagine, think, then calculate, then decide, have the will. And then we act. Now, for Allah, just delete whatever goes in the beginning. It's just the act, as we have in hadith from Imam Reza alayhi salam, the will of God is his action. So here when we say God wants to test you, it means that he wants these things to transpire, to show itself. Not that he should know, he knows everything, because this is outside time. So just because he is willing to things to transpire the way they have to transpire, the way they have to go, he would let it to go, and therefore it would transpire which one of us is better in action. Is this clear? I hope so. Of course, when we talk about God, it's very difficult, very complicated all the time, because he's beyond our understanding. You know, the good thing about God is that he's very close to our hearts, as I said, but he's far from our minds. Why? And this is very important for us to know, that there is a place in us for God. It's not mind. By our mind, we cannot understand him. We cannot describe him. But our hearts can feel him, can feel his presence, can feel some of his names. So there is somewhere in human being which knows these things. Okay. لَيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He wants to test you to see who is better in conduct. What is good conduct? And what is better conduct? And what is the best conduct? Now, this is a question. So we have come on this earth to do what? If we always help other people, is it a good conduct or is it not a good conduct? If we look after our family at the expense of everything else, is it a good conduct or not? If we pray and fast continuously, is it a good conduct or bad conduct? Now, it all depends on one very important thing. We shouldn't look at what appears from people as good or bad. What we see outwardly, that is not something which would determine which place in paradise we are going to be stationed. Because usually our judgment is about the outward exterior of people. Now, here, the A'imma alayhim as-salam have said that don't look at the exterior when you look at ahsanu amala, who's best in conduct. you have to look into the hearts rather than the exterior. Now, I mentioned a couple of hadiths, one from the Prophet, peace be upon him. He says that Ahsanukum amala. I read these two traditions and then you judge for yourself what is the best conduct. Ahsanukum amala means, first of all, atambukum aqla, who has more intellect, whose intellect manifests itself better, whose intellect is completed better in this world. This is the meaning of ahsanu amala. And aql, of course, by aql or intellect, we don't mean this calculating machine which experiences things on this world. No. Al-aqlu ma ubida bihi ar-Rahman. Aql is that thing by which we worship God. So it is going all towards God. Wa ashaddukum lillahi khawfan. The one who fears God more in the heart. This is ahsanu amala. Wa ahsanukum fi ma amara Allah bihi wa naha anhu nazaran. The one who understand, nazar is to understand, to consider, the philosophy of these injunctions of God, what he commands, what he forbids, better. It's all to do with understanding, with a sort of feeling that we have towards God. وَإِنْ كَانَ أَقَلُّكُمْ تَطَوَّى. Even if that person who has these qualities is the least in doing voluntary or charitable works, they don't have much to give to charity, they don't pray like the Abad all the time, they don't fast every day, however they have these qualities. The inner quality determines where we are going to be stationed in paradise. As I said, paradise, in paradise we have functions like angels. Angels have functions. We usually think that angels are just agents of God. They are not. They are independent beings. They have their own lives. But based on their merits, God gives them functions. And the one who's given more function would feel more pleasure, would feel more dignity, and things which are not, of course, understandable for us. We are agents of God here as well. And we have independent lives for ourselves. A mother is an agent of God for upbringing of their children, isn't it? We are agents. Now, what is the function of the mother, okay, to bring up a child? Does she have an independent life? Yes, of course. This is just a side issue. What is the function of a father to win bread for the family or to look after the family or whatever? Okay? Is this how we define father? No, father is an independent individual with a function. What is the function of Jibreel? Of course, Jibreel has great functions. He brings revelation, he brings the commands of God to other angels. But is this Jibreel? No, this is not Jibreel. Jibreel is an independent, intelligent being who lives independent of these functions. Now, when we go to paradise, we have functions. However, we live independent of those functions as well. But the more in heart we feel closer to God, the closer we feel to God, we are to God, more functions are given to us. It is said that the kings of paradise are the prophets. Kings of paradise. Just to bring to our mind what are the functions. And the mayors in paradise, for example, are those who know Quran best. Those who look after the affairs in social affairs of paradise, for example. We think that paradise is just a garden, we go and live there individually. No, we have social life, we live there, and then we have functions there. Now, this cannot be done with someone who does charitable work in this life with arrogance. always selfishness. Okay, this selfishness and arrogance cannot enter paradise, no matter how much good work they do in this world, or how many rak'ah salat they pray in this world. If that arrogance and selfishness is in the heart, it cannot work. So, ahsanu amala, the Prophet said, atammukum aqla. Now, look at what Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq says, which is an explanation of this. Laysa ya'ani aktharu amala. Ahsanu amala doesn't mean aktharu, the one who does more. No. Of course, many people, look at the Khawarij at the time of Amirul Mu'mineen. They prayed Salatul Layl, they fasted every day, they were aktharu amala. Or look at some Muslims in our contemporary, they are aktharu amala, but they don't have the understanding of faith. So laysa ya'ani aktharu amala, ahsanu amala doesn't mean to be more in an action. Walakin aswabukum amala, the one who actually does the things correctly. What is doing things correctly? وَإِنَّمَا الْإِصَابَةِ, this is a very beautiful hadith. And we see the light of Imama in this tradition, of course. وَإِنَّمَا الْإِصَابَةِ, the rectitude, the correctness of an action is what? خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ, to have the khashya, that feeling of, oh, for Allah. You see, it's all related to God. The faithless have no share in this, no matter what they do. We have to realize that when we want to go close to God, it's not the actions that we do outwardly, the exterior. What is inside? إِنَّمَا الْإِصَابَةُ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ, it is that sense of awe in the heart. وَالنِّيَّةُ الصَّادِقَةُ, you do things with the right intention. ثُمَّ قَالَ الْإِبْقَاءُ عَلَى الْأَمَلْ حَتَّى يَخْلُصُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْأَمَلِ, which of course, I'm not going into that, that's a very different field. So, the test here is to see, you know, we are sent to this world and we have been given everything. Then God wants to see who would like to go back to Him and who would like to live independently. Living independently is painful. Living independently is hard, is worrying. This is what we have in this world, isn't it? We live independently. This is Jahannam. It shows itself in a different form when we go to the other world. But it is this. إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ لَمُحِيطَةٌ بِالْكَافِرِينَ. Jahannam is surrounding the kafir. It's greed. It is coveting things that others have. It is jealousy. It's animosity. It's hatred. This is Jahannam. And Jahannam is nothing but this. And of course, it creates an environment which is very, very, first of all, absurd, and secondly, very crude and cruel. If we don't want to live independently, if we want to live connected to God, that is paradise. And the amount that we are connected to Him, the closer we are ranked to Him in paradise, and peace, because peace comes from Him, of course. Tranquility comes from Him. Pleasure comes from Him. Treasure comes from Him. Everything. So the closer we are ranked, the more we have. So we want to place you in your stations in paradise. But before that, you have to go through this. You have to go through this. I have to test you to see where to place you there. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. As I said, this combination is only used here in this chapter. Of course, He is mighty and forgiving. Mighty because He can do all that you hear. He can make you die, He can bring you back to life, He can put people to paradise, He can put people to hell. He's very mighty, powerful. However, Ya Allah, this is very difficult test you are placing us in, isn't it? It's very difficult. You leave us in this world, and we are just children. We come in this world, we don't know nothing, and then we have to learn, and then we have to come back to you, and then you have put all these sort of attractions in this world. We make mistakes, we fall, we slip. What should we do? I forgive. Don't worry. وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. He will forgive. The only thing is that you have the intention to come back. You have the intention to connect yourself to me. Then the mistakes, the slips, the wrongdoings that you do in situations, I will forgive them. هُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْغَفُورُ. Otherwise, of course, no one would go to paradise. I mean, if God doesn't want to forgive, no one would go there. And if you have noticed the verses of the Quran, it's all the time talking لَهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. First they have مَغْفِرَةٌ, then they have great reward. So مَغْفِرَةٌ would come first all the time. So don't worry if you make mistakes. Don't worry if I have left you on this earth to do whatever you want. But I have made a connecting point between you and me that if you pay attention, which is the heart, the soul, if you look after it, if you pay attention to it, then eventually everyone would prosper. What about those who go to hell? As I said, that is not the purpose of the creation. However, we know that majority of those who go to hell would come out of it as well. So eventually, the whole purpose of this creation, except for a very few, would be accomplished. Although, I tell you one thing. We don't have an imagination of paradise and closeness to God. Even if one person among all these billions and billions of people who Allah has created to put through this test, even if one person makes it to paradise, it is worth it. It is worth it. We don't know what is waiting for even one that human being who makes it to paradise. Now that we know that the majority will go to paradise, minority, of course, will make it to hell. Okay, that was one description about God. The second description. So, تبارك الذي بيده الملك الذي خلق الموت والحياة, the one who created life and death. And look, for this life and death that he has created, and for the sort of space in which you needed for the test, look what I have set up. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ فَرْجَ الْبَصَرِ هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. This verse, let me give the translation first. The one who created seven heavens in layers, of course I discuss what the tabaqan mean, you do not see any discordance in the creation of the all-beneficent. Look again, farja al-basar. You think that you may find a lapse, a disharmony? Look deeper. Do you see any flaw? Then the following verses, then look again and again and again to see that there is some disharmony here in this creation. You cannot find it. Okay, we go to that later. However, first of all, ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت. You do not see any discordance, any discrepancy, or any difference. All these are meaning of tafawat in the creation of Ar-Rahman. The name Ar-Rahman is mentioned in this verse, in this chapter, three times. It's a very short chapter. Three times the name Ar-Rahman is mentioned, so there should be something there related to this name, Ar-Rahman. And because the surah is actually arguing with the kuffar, it wants to say that although you are denying your connection to God, or you are denying that you have to be grateful to God, however, it is His Rahmaniyya, it is all beneficency which is sustaining you, which is keeping you. I'll talk about this Rahman later on. However, here we have a very difficult concepts which you have come across in the Quran very frequently. Seven heavens or seven skies. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا. The one who created the seven skies. طِبَاق either means one over the other, on top of each other, or it means similar. طِبَقًا for each other. So they are either similar to each other or they are one above the other. And then because we have created it in this way, you do not see any disharmony or any difference in the creation of Ar-Rahman. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَوْتِ. What is سَبْعَ السَّمَاوَاتِ? In old astronomy, they thought that there are seven planets, and each planet is moving in one orbit, and these orbits are like sort of hollow balls, one covering the other, and they thought these are seven heavens, one at top of the other. They were calling it like onion-like heavens, so to speak. Now, first of all, we know that the number of the planets which go around the sun are more than, or at that time they may have thought that it goes around the earth. You know, initially, prior to the Greek astronomy, the idea was that the planets go around the sun. Then in Greek astronomy, they made it the other way around. They said that no, every planet goes around the earth, including the sun. Then, of course, from the time of Copernicus, we know that the truth was with the ancients, who said that no, the planets go around the earth, the sun, rather than going around the earth. Anyhow, we know that this is not true. And the creation is much bigger, the universe is much bigger than our solar system. And also it does not conform with other verses of the Quran. For example, Inna zayyanna as-samaa'a ad-dunya bi-zinatin al-kawakib. We have adorned the lower heaven with the stars and planets. Now, of course, it means that the second heaven, the higher heavens, have no stars, no planets. However, the ancient exegetes, because they were very much eager to explain these verses based on the science of the time, they ignored or they explained away these verses, which is against the idea of the seven heavens like that, seven planets going around the earth. So what's the meaning of Sab'a Samawat, the seven heavens? It's a sort of enigma in the Quran, because Sama means whatever is above, and God has used it in that sense to refer to many different things. Now let me tell you some of the meanings, or all the meanings of Sama in the Quran, as far as I have gathered. The first is the ceiling of this room is Sama as well. We have one verse in Surah Hajj, مَنْ كَانَ يَظُنُّ أَنْ لَنْ يَنْصُرَهُ اللَّهُ فَلْيَمْدُدْ بِسَبَبٍ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ ثُمَّ لْيَقْطَعْ. If you think I'm not going to support my prophet and he would not prevail, just stretch a string or rope from the ceiling and hang yourself, if it helps you. If it helps you to quiet down, to calm down. So here, Sama just means the ceiling of the house. Okay, this is one meaning of the Sama. The other meaning of the Sama is the space above us, not the planets or stars, where these are placed, the space. So, for example, we have مثلو كلمة طيبة كشجرة طيبة أصلها ثابت وفرعها في السماء. It goes up high. So, it may go to the meaning that whatever is above you. The other meaning of sama is the clouds. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً مُبَارَكًا. Again, you can say, it means it comes from above. However, because it's referring to clouds where the water comes. The other meaning of sama are the planets. The planets and the stars. Because, for example, Allah says, وَالسَّمَاءَ بَنَيْنَاهَا بِأَيْدٍ. We have built the skies with power. Built, it means that there are sort of relation between the different materials and this relation between stars and planets. So the whole universe is the sama. Now, we can refer from the other verses of the Quran that the whole universe is sama ad-dunya, is the first heaven. إِنَّا زَيَّنَّا سَمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِزِينَةٍ كَوَاكَبٍ. We have adorned this closer heaven, closer sama to you, with the adornment of the stars and planets. Or we have in Surah Nazaat, أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ. Are you firmer, more difficult to create, or the heavens, the sama? بَنَاهَا. I have built it. Now, he has built it. Built, of course, means all these planets and stars have been placed in their respective places. Now, the other meaning of sama, which is again used very explicitly in the Quran, is the earth atmosphere. وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا. I have made the sama, the heaven, to be a protective shield. This very clearly refers to the atmosphere of the earth. It's a protective shield. Otherwise, of course, the whole heavens or universe is not a protective shield. Or the other meaning of sama is where the angels live. And this goes beyond this universe. This goes to other dimensions. وَكَمْ مِنْ مَلَكٍ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ لَا يُغْنِي شَفَاعَتُهُمْ شَيْئًا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدَ أَنْ يَأْذَنَ اللَّهُ لَمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَرْضَى. The kuffar used to worship their idols, thinking that they are helping them. God says, you want to worship them or you want to worship angels? The angels, of course, cannot do anything, cannot do shafa'ah for anything, cannot bring about anything unless Allah wishes. So do not call anyone beside him, do not pay attention to anything beside him. So this samawat, and we have in many traditions that angels live in samawat, in the heavens. And these six layers above this universe, which are dimensions, other dimensions of this creation, one above the other, خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا. He has created one above the other. And this above is sort of a spiritual highness, not physical. The first heaven is the abode of certain angels who are farther away from the Arsh. The second heaven, abode of the angels who are above them, then the angels who are above them until it goes to the seventh heaven, and then the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the abode of the angels. And one other meaning which is used for sama is the realm of God. What is up there? When we want to pray to God, supplicate, we are told that take your hands like this. It is a sort of gesture that we say God is above us, is in sama. أَأَمِنْتُمْ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاءِ. We'll come to that very difficult verse later on in this. That are you secure about the one who's in the sama? And that is a very tricky verse if we do not understand what's the meaning of sama. Now, so إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا in Surah Araf وَاسْتَكْبَرُوا عَنْهَا لَا تُفَتَّحُ لَهُمْ أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. Those who are arrogant towards our signs, the doors of sama would not open for them. Where?
they can go to reside in the neighborhood of God. It's not open for them.
Also, you have all these verses talking about God sending down, isn't it? أنزلنا إليك الكتاب, send down, means I am above, I am in the higher, and this is a metaphorical usage to say that God is above everything. Now, having said this, all these different meanings of Sama, would somehow clarify for us what is the meaning of this sab'a samawat here. Alladhi khalaqa sab'a samawatan tabaqa. He has created the seven heavens, one above the other, layers in layers, or similar. Now, if we say it is one above other, it's very clear, of course. Our world is the lowest, and sama'ud dunya is the universe. Inna zayyana sama'ud dunya bizinatil kawakib. Above this is a world of angels, where those angels who immediately sort of look after us are agents for the life on this earth, in this universe, for example. Okay, this is their abode. Then there are angels above them who command them. Then there are angels above them who command them, one above the other. However, if you look, you do not see any discrepancy, any disharmony. All these, from Jibreel down to the ant which is walking on the earth, they all work in harmony. You do not see any lapse here. We only see what is here on this, in this material world. We do not know what is going on in the worlds above us, in the world of angels and whatever is there. As I said, the angels are not only agents. They have life for themselves. They will be resurrected. They are afraid of the day of resurrection, as we have in Nahj al-Balagha. They know, of course, things are going to change. And they have the functions, their functions in this world of dunya, and they have different functions in Akhirah as well. Like us, we have different functions here. We have different functions in Akhirah as well. So, looking into this, you cannot see any discrepancy. If we say tabaqa means similar, it means each is a lower manifestation of the higher. It's very similar. This world is similar to Akhirah, just it's a lower manifestation of it. This life is similar to our life in Barzakh. It's a lower manifestation of it, if we say it's similar. If we say it is in one layer above the other, of course, that's very clear as well. It is a world which has ranks. And the closer is to that realm of the highest Sama, the realm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the higher the magnitude of the action of and function of the functionaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. An ant here has a function in this world, and Jibreel has a function in that world, and they cannot contradict each other. Jibreel cannot destroy the ants, isn't it? They do not contradict. There is no discrepancy. It's all in harmony. إن الله لا يستحي أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة وما فوقها. Some of the kuffar were saying, what are these, for example, swears that Allah mentions in the Quran? I swear by the moon, by the sun, or talking about Ankabut. And God says, God is not ashamed to bring example of a gnat or small fly. Look at that small fly, you would see that is the sign of the wisdom of Allah. It is in harmony with other places. It has its own function. So, مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْقِ الرَّحْمَانِ مِنْ تَفَاوَتِ. You do not see any lapse, any disharmony. If you do not believe me, go and look, go and search. Now, some experts say that this statement in the Quran is very good because it is encouraging us to go and find out about the creation. Experiments, experience, accumulating data, comparing things to each other, farj al-basar, go and somehow
let your eyes go around everywhere. You cannot see. Do you see any lapse? Do you see any discrepancy? Futur is like from, you know, we have Fetr as well, which breaks the fast. Futur is a sort of a tearing or break down. You cannot see any break in this creation. And this is what we see. The more we actually look into this world, the more our sciences advance, the more we see the harmony, the more we see how things are connected to each other, from the atom and from the core of the atom to the solar system, to the universe, we see how things are connected to each other. You cannot see any lapse. You, as Amir al-Mu'mineen says, if you ponder, if you consider, you see the one who has created the elephant has created the ant, because there is no disharmony here. They act in the same way. So this is a challenge which we are unaware of. You see, we are so simpleton. We think that if we have discovered how things work harmoniously in this world, we don't need God anymore. Well, things are working for themselves, are in harmony, very good. What do we need God for? Well, who has created this harmony? Who has made it like this? How stupid I may be to think that because I am discovering, not making, I'm discovering the harmony of this world, then we need no God. Well, the more we discover harmony, the more we have to contemplate about the one who has created this harmony. Therefore, the more the sciences advance, the more we have to become humble beside God. Now, لَيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. He wants to see which one of you is best. We said this أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا is humbleness towards God, isn't it? It's خُشُوع of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, if I'm a good scientist, I'm the top scientist in this world, I have made lots of discoveries, but I'm very arrogant. I say, well, these things work for themselves. Am I of good conduct or I'm not of good conduct? Well, إِنَّمَا الْإِصَابَ خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ. If you have خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ, then you have good conduct. If you don't have خَشْيَةُ اللَّهِ, what you are doing it for yourself. You're just finding out how God has created this world. Okay. What then? You find out and then you deny. You find out and you deny that there is someone behind this. Okay, is this good conduct? Because we usually have a high respect for knowledge. And that's why we have high respect for scientists. This is in human nature. We have high respect for knowledge. And therefore we have high respect for anyone who knows more than us. However, that doesn't mean that anyone who knows more is better. Because knowing more about God, of course, is a different thing. But if I know more, but I make the wrong conclusion, it means I'm not better. Now, the challenge goes on. ثُمَّ رَجَعَ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ. Look again, once more, or repeatedly look. يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسَ. Your look will return to you humbled. خَاسَ means humbled or weakened or unsuccessful to find anything, and weary. وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ is exhausted. Actually, this is a challenge of the Quran to us, that you cannot find any lapse in this creation. We have had theories in the past which we thought that, okay, there are some wrong things in this creation we cannot explain, but gradually we realize that, no, we could not explain. That things cannot go wrong here. If things would have gone wrong, I wouldn't have sat here before you talking, my blood veins full of blood giving life to me. I could think, I can speak. And these are all the things that the verse, like the surah actually mentions, bringing to our attention Ar-Rahman. As I said, three times Ar-Rahman is mentioned in this surah, and therefore it brings to our attention that. So, the conclusion here is that First of all, it encourages us to learn more about the creation, to find out, to go after science, to go after knowledge, to learn more and more. And secondly, it says it is impossible that you find more and then you find a lapse, a disharmony, a disconnection. Tafawut also means disconnection. Discontinuity, you cannot find it. Everything is working in harmony with other things, and therefore you have to believe in Ar-Rahman. You have to believe in that wisdom behind this. That's Ar-Rahman. Of course, Ar-Rahim is a different thing. The one who gives guidance to the hearts of human beings. And then it goes on to talk about details of this creation. Inshallah, we'll leave this for our next session. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
لطيف خبير سميع بصير جلي راقب مجيب غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف وآل محمد يا مسلمين صلوا عليه اللهم صل على محمد صلوا عليه يا مؤمنين صلوا عليه. Yeah, Latifah.